also happen to be new here, I've been in the middle of a series entitled Building a Great Life God's Way. And we talked about over the last couple of weeks, if we're going to build a great life God's way, I shared with you that we've got to build our faith. We've got to grow our faith. And Jesus said, have faith in God. And the real reality is we all know we need to have faith. My guess is we all know that we need to have more faith than we do. I know I do as a pastor. But the reality is, how do we grow our faith? And I gave you six thoughts from Scripture on how to grow your faith in God. And then the week after that, we talked about just a bit of what Gina said. There are times in our lives when we need a miracle from God. We need God to do something in our lives. And so I talked to you that next week about how to prepare for God to do a miracle in your life. If you need a miracle, how to prepare for that. And then last week I said, if we're going to have a great life God's way, we've got to be a people, Christ followers, who are committed. And today I thought, as I was looking forward in this series, I thought there's no better time, because I really believe that if we're going to build a great life God's way, we have to learn as God's children and followers of Christ to live lives of sacrifice, to be on mission and sacrifice. Ultimately, Jesus came not just to simply walk on water, though that was powerful, not to simply feed 5,000, although that was miraculous. Not to simply make the lame walk and cause the blind to see and raise Lazarus from the dead, although that was truly God-inspired. Jesus ultimately came to this earth to be the perfect sacrifice for your sins and mine. And if we're going to follow Him, we need to live a life of sacrifice. And that word sacrifice simply means to relinquish something that is special for the sake of someone or something else. And I thought as I was planning out this series that there's no better day than today to talk about the issue of sacrifice. Faith is great and miracles are great and commitment is needed. But sacrifice, I thought today, why? Because probably no one sacrifices more than moms. The reality of it is, no one in our house sacrifices more for our kids and our family than my bride. And my guess is it's the same with you. My guess is it's the same with your mom. As I think back on my mom, she's down in Houston. We always alternate. If you've been here, you know our relationship. My sister's down in Houston, and we always trade moms. She was with us on Easter, so she's with them on Mother's Day. And the sacrifice she made, I was a junior at Baylor when my father passed away. And as a school teacher, she just kind of pressed on and moved through. And we often don't realize the sacrifice that our parents made. In particular, I didn't realize the sacrifice my mom made. I now, having a couple of kids in college, cannot understand or fathom how she got me through school financially on a teacher's salary and just making that happen. Just a little bit over a year ago, we were talking about senior rings. And how expensive they were. And my mom happened to be up, and I was talking about how expensive they were, and the ones my child was trying to choose was not the one I was looking to choose. And I'll tell you, it wasn't because of look. Y'all know me. It had all to do with price. And so we're sitting there, and my mom said, now you know that when I bought your senior graduation ring from Baylor, I sold your dad and I our rings to buy yours. And I was like, I didn't know that. And I said, Mom, why didn't you tell me that before? She said there was no need to. And she took my dad's ring and her ring, went down and sold it so she would have the money to buy my ring. I bought the ring my kid wanted. But that's the kind of sacrifice that moms make. And oftentimes, kids and husbands, they make it and are quiet about it for all those years. as we think about it, living a life of sacrifice, part of that is living a life of sacrifice and praise. I just want to look at a couple of verses this week, and we'll move through them pretty quickly. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 to 7, it says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us offer continually to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." It says, "Had confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work may be a joy, not a burden to them, for that would be of no benefit to you." Let me give you a couple of thoughts on what a life of sacrifice looks like. What does a life of sacrifice look like? And you can take that pen or pencil out and you can just fill it in, and we're going to move through these rather quickly on this Mother's Day. Thought number one is this: a life of sacrifice constantly and continually praises God. A life of sacrifice constantly and continually praises God. Notice what verse 15 said. It says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise." What is a sacrifice of praise? We've sang some worship time in here. We've had some music. We've sung "Come to the Altar." We've honored some people. We've honored some moms and some dads. We've honored moms that are in the congregation. Those are words of praise, but none are more important than the sacrifice of praise that we can offer to God. Notice those last few words: "The fruit of lips that openly profess His name." Man, part of a sacrifice of praise for us is that we would, yes, come in here as a congregation of believers and settle in and sing and worship and honor God, that we would talk in our life groups and in our Bible studies and in our home groups about what God has done in our life, that we would ask God in prayer that He would move in our lives, that He would lead someone to be a faith follower in Him as well. But at the same time, a sacrifice of praise is the fruit of the lips that openly praise His name. Let me ask you a question. When you leave this place, when we leave this place today, and we make our journey through this week, will we openly profess our faith in Jesus Christ? Will it naturally flow from us in our conversation at the convenience store and in our neighborhood and with our friends and at the office and in our work? If so, that is a life of sacrifice that openly professes His name. Now, the reality of it is, certainly as tensions are growing in our society, the more openly you profess His faith, your faith in Him, the more the reality you might have some resistance from those who are around you, who hear your conversation, that they just kind of resist back. But a sacrifice is, I am willing to honor God above and beyond all else. Here's thought number two, just from those verses: a life of sacrifice constantly serves others. Thought number one, a life of sacrifice constantly praises God. But secondly, a life of sacrifice constantly serves others. You say, where do you see that? Right there in verse 16, notice what it says. He says, "And do not forget to do good." Don't forget. Don't forget to do good. Those words, "to do good," means to actively be engaged in making people's life better. Here's a reality. When it comes to the child of God, when it comes to my life and your life and our lives as a congregation, here's what that really means, is that every time we come into someone's life, when we leave, we should have left them better than they were before we showed up. That's what it means. That when I engage with someone at the office and in the neighborhood, that I should constantly and consistently look to make it my goal to have made their day better for having a dialogue and a conversation with me. And that's what we say, constantly doing good. Man, as I think about, if you look at the back when you leave here, we're in the middle of our mission of the month, which is our Children's Hunger Fund. Last week, if you happen to be a first-timer here, you see some chest up here on the stage. We're in the process of raising money to build a chapel that's going to go out front. Some of these kids that we saw today who were dedicated will be married in that chapel. But what a beauty it was for me as a pastor last week to see people walk the aisle and place their commitment cards and their offering envelopes in these chests, turn around after giving such so sacrificially, then walk right back to the table and walk out boxes, walk out with boxes to fill up for the children. And that is really what God has called us to, is that we would constantly do good and serve and to share others. Here's the next thought. Number three, you ready? A life of sacrifice gives generously for the sake of others. A life of sacrifice gives generously for the sake of others. You say, where do you see that? Look right back to verse 16. Notice what it says. It says, and do not forget to do good. We just talked about that. And to share with others. That's generosity. That's being willing to give. Man, my hope is that we as a congregation of believers, we as a faith family of believers, would always share. We would constantly be willing to share our wealth and share the grace and demonstrate God's love in our life, because we are not only willing to work and to do good, but we're also willing to give and to share with those we come into contact with. Look at those words again. And do not forget to do good. That word forgets means don't let it slip your mind. Well, we shouldn't constantly, when we show up in God's house on Sunday morning, say, you know what, I should have. Could have, would have, should have. He says, don't forget, because it is easy to forget. Here's the reality. When we leave here and we enter in our relationships and things are a little difficult at the office, or sometimes they're difficult at home, or they're difficult in the neighborhood or with your relationships or with your occupation or whatever it is, sometimes when that happens, it's easy to forget. But here's the reality. Man, a sharing Christian is a caring Christian, and a caring Christian is a Christ-like Christian. When we care and we serve and we love, man, we are most honoring God. What did Jesus do? He came to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me give you a couple of thoughts on giving, and I've got some others in there that I encourage you to read throughout the week. Jesus said, Generosity benefits my life by, number one, it breaks the grip of materialism. It breaks the grip of materialism. We live in such a society. I joked with Gina a few minutes ago about the cost of presents between men and women and the real. We've just learned to live with that, right, guys? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about it's easy as we go through life, as we watch TV, as we look at commercials. There's always something else I'd like to buy. There's always something else I'd like to have. There's always a new and improved. There's always a new model, another gadget, another this, another that I want to buy and hold on to. Man, Jesus says, if we give generously, it'll break the grip of materialism. It'll also do that in our kids' life. If our kids see us generous as parents, we're willing to give for someone else, to go for someone else, to be on mission in life. When our kids see us being that way, it helps break that grip of materialism in their life. Man, as they compare themselves, even much more so than they did in my day and the days before, about who has the best shoe or who has the best electronics or the newest electronics or the most expensive one. Man, if they always think of me, one of the best things we can do as parents is to help them break the grip of materialism on their life by demonstrating for them our love for others. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on this earth where moth and vermin destroy. I just love saying that word vermin, destroy. And where thieves break in and steal. He says, don't store it up here. Don't store it up here. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. And if we are going to live a life of sacrifice, we need to understand we can't serve our money and God. That's an oxymoron. That's a thought that does not work together. I cannot serve my things and my money and my pocketbook and God at the same time. I can't happen. It just can't happen. Next thing that Jesus said is generosity from us is an investment for all of eternity. When we give to others, when you pick up on your way out a box for Children's Hunger Fund, or we're in the midst of raising things for Vacation Bible School, anytime we do that, anytime we give, We are making an investment for all of eternity. J.L. Kraft was a godly man. You know, the whole Kraft Corporation, most of what we know here in the Metroplex and around the nation, we know Robert Kraft, right? The son who is the owner of the New England Patriots, and we oftentimes know him because they're collecting another ring. But J.L. Kraft, who preceded him, was a godly Christian, and he was in a habit. He was in a habit of giving away 25% of his wealth every year to Christian causes. And one time he was giving a speech after he had stepped down from being the leader. He said this. He said, "The only investment I ever made, which is paid consistently in increasing dividends, is the money I have given to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Pretty impressive thought, isn't it? The only investment I've ever made that's consistently paid ever-increasing dividends is that I gave to Christ. Be on mission for Christ and for others, to serve others. Here's the next thought. Generosity draws me closer to God. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying our money, that which we have, it's like a magnet. Wherever our money is, we're going to be drawn to that. If we give our money for others and to love others and to care for others, we're going to be drawn to serve others. If all we want to do is store things up or we buy things with our money, guess what? We're going to be drawn to things and not towards God. And Jesus said, listen, man, we need to understand generosity. When I am generous, when I give to others, it makes me and draws me closer to God. Here's the next thing. Generosity opens me up to be blessed by God. Generosity opens me up for God to bless me. I love, if you go all the way back into the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10, it says, "Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart." Well, with your time and your talents and your energy, and on this Mom's Day, we certainly understand that our moms have done that more than we could ever imagine. But it says, "Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. And then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to do." You know, he says, Jesus says, the more generous we are toward others and to others and for others, especially in the Lord's work, the more generous we are towards others, the more it opens me up for God to bless me. How is God going to bless me? Notice what he says. He said, in whatever you put your hand to do. If you want to be blessed at the office, you want to be blessed in your relationship, you want to be blessed in your marriage, you want to be blessed in your life, what does he say do? Jesus said, give generously. Don't just hold it in. Don't just hold it in. And then here's the final thought from those passages right there in verse 16. It's this: a life of sacrifice pleases God. When we live a life of sacrifice, we please God. What an incredible thought. A lot of times we journey through life trying to buy God's favor. We want to do this and we want to do that. We want to do this, we want to do that. Because we want to buy God's favor. We want to just say, "Hey, have I done enough to make God happy?" Or perhaps the question, and I get this quite often as a pastor, when I'll go have a cup of coffee or breakfast or something, you know, what do I really need to do to get God to bless me? To have God to be pleased with me? It's right here in verse 16. He says, "For with such sacrifice, God is pleased." A life of sacrifice pleases God. And so that's why we always here at the church at Cottonwood, we have a mission of the month. There's always something we're doing. As we move into June and July and August and through, we're going to be going on mission trips to Kenya and Dominican Republic and south of the border, and we're going to be building churches down in southern Mexico. We're always doing something. We're going to be in Baltimore. We're going to be around the nation. We're going to be here locally through Vacation Bible School. And that all is a part of us trying to be a church that is generous towards others. If you are new here today, we have been in the midst of a generosity campaign for our chapel. Last week, our people brought their commitment cards. This is what we are going to commit to over the next 12 months. And if you were wondering, part of why we do that is it is our heartbeat as a church when we build this chapel to fully fund it and fully pay for it. And so that way we can essentially just bring it to a place where we can almost give it away to the community. So if someone needs to come and get married there, they'll have a place and a space. And that's part of us as a church, as a congregation, having a sacrificial heart, that we're willing to dig deep so we can then give away what God has so richly blessed us with. And so last week we gave the commitment cards, and if you want to look at what that is all about, you can see it on the bottom of that insert. This week we left the chest out because this is the week that people are bringing their one-time offering. And you can make your choice if you want to take the one-time offering. You can either place it here or you can place it in the tithe and offering boxes on your way out. If for some reason, I've had people ask this throughout the week, they weren't here last week, can they turn in the commitment cards this week? Absolutely. And what's about to take place is then Wednesday night, I'll sit down with the stewardship team and we'll look over that. And then next Sunday morning, we'll come back together and we'll celebrate what God has done through us. And so that is all about us being a church that is constantly living a life of sacrifice. One of the beauties of Cottonwood, if you're new here, is I always feel like that Cottonwood has kind of always been an oasis of generosity in a selfish and stingy world. Anytime we stand up and say we're going to give for this mission cause or that mission cause, Cottonwood has always stepped up. And I believe this is going to be no different. So as we close here today, before we move into our closing announcements, moms, thank you for your sacrifice. That's building a great life. Church, congregation, as you gave your commitment cards last week, thank you for your sacrifice over the next 12 months of what we'll give. For those who are bringing their one-time offerings today to place them either up here after the service or in the tithe and offering boxes on the way out, thank you for your service, and thank you for your sacrifice. Beyond that, what a beautiful day it's going to be when we see that first bride walk down that aisle about this time next year, and we're going to get to celebrate, because what we do for the kingdom. Because what we do for the kingdom, as J.L. Kraft said, it's the only thing that pays consistently increasing dividends, not just here, but for all of eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. God, as we close here and move into our announcement, thank you for the parents that were here. Thank you so much for the parents that were here that brought their daughters and sons across our stage to be dedicated. God, we celebrate that. Father, thank you for moms that are in the room, and the sacrifices they have made, and the sacrifices they will continue to make. God, we thank you for them. Thank you for our church family that's so generous. We have the vision of the next step as a chapel out front, for mission to reach out to our community, to provide a place and a space for people, whether they're a member of our church or not, to come and get married in without breaking the bank. For ministry, for memorial services and covered walkways for days of inclement weather. And thank you, and we celebrate that. God, thank you for the commitments that were given last week. God, thank you for the offerings that will be given today. Thank you for what you're going to do next week in Celebration Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.